This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm very excited to talk to our next guest. He is an Illinois State Senator from the 34th Senate District. Steve Stottleman is also the chairman of the Gaming Committee in the state of Illinois. Senator, thank you very much for the time today. How are you doing?
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
So is it now a matter of when, not if, legal sports gambling comes to Illinois?
That would be my guess. There's a lot of work ahead. I want to make sure we get legislation right. But my guess is, if I'd had a bet, no pun intended, obviously, that probably over the course of the next year, there's a good chance we will see some type of sports betting legalized in the state of Illinois.
Where does it stand right now?
Well, you know, there were numerous bills that have been introduced this legislative session. We held a subject matter hearing on the issue in April. We had all the consultants, leagues, numerous stakeholders who are interested in the issue testify in front of the gaming committee. So we've taken some testimony. But now that we have the Supreme Court decision, my guess is that will accelerate the process of bills being finalized, negotiations will proceed, and there'll be further discussions over the next few months as far as what it may look like. You know, it's a lot of models, a lot of variety as far as what sports betting could look like, and those issues have to be hashed out.
In your opinion, what is the best case scenario for the state of Illinois when it comes to the legalization of sports gambling?
You know, work over it over the summer and maybe looking at some bills this fall and maybe early next year when we see something finalized and we'll see votes on the floor of the House or Senate. Of course, in Springfield, you can never dictate what's going to happen. Things always come out by surprise. So it's always obviously estimated guess, but you know, my guess is over the next year we could see something passed legislatively. Now, how you logistically start operating sports betting and how long it takes to actually implement something, that's another question. Will that be, you know, more months down the road, and are we looking at another year or two out? I'm hoping not, but you know, legislatively something early next year, and maybe operating later in the year, whenever that may be.
The chairman of the gaming committee, Illinois State Senator Steve Stottleman, is our guest. Yeah, I guess that's more what I'm interested in also, right? Like, what form will it take shape in? Is it going to be just at brick-and-mortar establishments like casinos and racetracks? Will you be able to bet online in the state of Illinois? Do you have any insight into what form sports gambling do you think will be legalized if and when it happens?
And that's a good question. I think those are the issues that have to be hashed out. So my guess is going to be a combination of brick and mortars and online. I think you talk to the consultants, the experts in industry. Online is where the future's at. In fact, it's being used right now, obviously, with the legal books and the black market. Everything's going mobile. It's online. Everything wants to be, you know, everything's on your phone these days. And I think people, if this is going to be successful, in the state, you've got to offer an app and an online platform to capture most of the market. And from my, you talk to the experts, you know, 60% of the market will be online shortly if it isn't already. So that clearly is where the direction is heading when it comes to sports betting and any state effort to try to capture some of that market.
And do you anticipate this being the type of thing that we can see in stadiums? Like, will we be able to go into Soldier Field or Wrigley Field and place bets at the stadiums themselves?
Well, you look at Europe, which is much more of a mature market as far as people's attitudes towards sports betting and the venues that it's allowed. And I think you can do that. You can walk into the stadiums and place your bet. Even with what's called in-play game, you can vote on a certain activity happening in the game and place that bet immediately. I'm not so sure if this country and the state of Illinois would be ready for that type of gaming opportunity. So whether you can go up to Wrigley Field and place that bet, I think those in the industry want to eventually see that happen. as much as you can make it relevant to people who are watching the games in person or you know through the media, if they can place that bet right away and go to a game and make that bet at the venue, I think those who are operating would love to see that happen. It obviously would increase the market and make it a more attractive product. But, you know, whether that ends up in legislation in the state of Illinois, that's just a question remaining to be seen.
Steve Stottleman is our guest, Illinois State Senator and Chairman of the Gaming Committee. You mentioned, you know, Springfield and the political climate. Do we know where the governor stands on this exactly? Because I was looking at it, and it didn't seem to be that clear cut.
No, I think your analysis is correct. He's been somewhat vague as far as when he's been asked a question during news conferences. He'll start off by saying he's not a gambler himself.
Which is not relevant.
And it makes some issue like it should be a local decision. I'm not sure how relevant that is. This will be a statewide issue. So you're right. I don't think we have a real clear, if something comes across his desk when it comes to sports betting, whether he would sign at this point.
So I guess then I'm interested in, because I am a gambler, full disclosure, right? Admit your biases, right? So this is certainly a comfortable landing spot for you, the chairman of the gaming committee. But I fail to see downside for most entities involved here. So what types of opposition are you receiving or facing, and from whom is that opposition coming from?
Well, first of all, those who are opposed to any type of gaming expansion to begin with, they oppose people being allowed to do that for whatever reason. They just don't think that's something the state should be involved with and should be sanctioned. I guess the other opposition, too, you have opposition within the industry itself. Obviously, there have been attempts to pass casino expansion, fantasy sports, and it kind of causes an infighting among the players when they're trying to protect their turf or want a piece of the action. And so it kind of there's a struggle within industry and here at the Capitol because you have different players who manage certain things, and it makes it very difficult to pass a bill politically, if that makes sense. So that's kind of a different side of the opposition. So, I mean, I think those forces are still in play. You're always going to people are going to be opposed to any type of gaming expansion for moral reasons or just something that the state shouldn't be involved with. But then you also have the infighting among those in the industry who are trying to protect the turf and want a piece of the action. So they delay things or will keep things from being moved forward. But at the end of the day, I think the argument for sports betting, it's happening anyway. There's an estimated $150 billion being bet on sports illegally in this country. It's taking place already, as you seem to indicate it with yourself. So I think it's a legitimate argument to let's regulate it, let's allow it, offer some consumer protections, which may interest people, and get some revenue as well, which the state obviously needs.
How much revenue do you project is at stake for the state of Illinois if and when this passes?
Depends on the miles improved. Depends on the tax rate that ultimately would have to pass the General Assembly. But my guess, and what we've heard the experts say, could be anywhere between $50 and $100 million in state revenue. That's just a guesstimate. That sounds like a lot of money, but you know, when we're dealing with an operating budget of $37 billion, $50 to $100 million is a rounding error. It's not going to solve our financial problems. It's not going to solve our budget deficit. It's some needed revenue that we can help maybe pay for some programs or a capital plan, but it's not going to solve our financial issues. But again, it's still additional money, which the state could use.
What do you think that the revenue would go towards, like in terms of programming?
Well, that would have to be determined, any type of legislation. But, you know, obviously we're still facing budget deficits. The state is desperately in need of a capital plan, infrastructure improvements that we haven't had for a number of years, but we have to find a way to pay for it. So could revenue from a gaming expansion bill, sports betting included, could that revenue be used to help pay for bonds for a capital plan?
Senator, we're talking to the chairman of the gaming committee, Steve Stottleman, Illinois State Senator here on The Score. Is there a rat race element to this? Like how much urgency is there to be first to market, right? You're in Rockford, that's close to Wisconsin. There's 20, 30 states that are drafting up legislation. You know, the people are going to leave at the end of May, right? The session will be over. Like, how much urgency should we expect as constituents from lawmakers to make this bill happen quickly so that you can actually start getting the majority of that revenue?
Well, I've heard two narratives. One, as you mentioned, if other states close by offer this as an entertainment option, we don't want to be behind the curve. We should be able to offer that as well. The other side, though, you want to do it right. We can pass legislation in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, and we're not aware of the ramifications. And that clearly has happened with some of the other gaming expansion laws that have passed. And if you're going to pass something this mammoth, something that is still relatively new in the gaming landscape, let's make sure we do it right, we don't have unintended repercussions, and we get the revenue that we're expecting. So, I mean, those are kind of the two narratives we're dealing with right now. Because the Supreme Court decision came down when it did this week, most state legislatures have either wrapped up or will be wrapping up soon. So I think the ability of states at this point in time to start passing all these sports betting bills and having approved by, you know, the governors, that's a tall task. So I think, you know, we're going to have some time here over the summer, early in the fall, before we're seeing a lot of states start passing some legislation. So I think we have some time here, but you know, we need to do it right. We need to make sure that what we pass is good for the state.
In terms of unintended consequences, when you are discussing this, workshopping it, talking to people in other states, Vegas, et cetera, what do you see as potential pitfalls that would be, oh man, those Illinois politicians, they messed this one up? Like, what specifically are you trying to avoid?
Well, I don't know anything specifically. It's just, you know, there could be so many different type of platforms and so many venues, for example, that could offer this. So many ways this is put together as far as a model. States are still trying to grapple with this issue. What's the best model? And nobody has any clear answers because it's still all relatively new. So I don't have specific examples, but when something's new, you're just not quite aware of what, if you make a decision, what that will look like. As I said, there's so many different ways you could approve a platform. Where do you offer it? What will the bets look like? How much revenue? How do you regulate it? How do you ensure integrity? Should the leagues get a cut of the percentage, for example? There's a lot of issues that still have to be resolved when it comes to trying to pass legislation.
You mentioned the integrity fee. What is your stance on that, which is something that the leagues want?
I think the leagues still need to make their case. Nevada has obviously had sports betting this whole time. They were grandfathered in despite the federal ban, and they have had no integrity fees. Obviously, the leagues are making the push that there should be one. And I think as negotiations and discussions continue, we'll continue to hear what they have to say. I still think they need to make a case that they deserve a piece of the action when it's been taking place without any type of integrity fee in other states.
Yeah, I would editorialize here and say they don't have a case.
Yeah, and you know, their rationale so far has kind of changed. First, it was to ensure the integrity of the game, but it's been taking place in Nevada. Now it's kind of shifting that, you know, because they own intellectual property rights, they deserve a share of the action. I'm not sure that argument is valid as well. And we have fantasy sports. And again, there's been no any type of royalty fee for fantasy sports. So, I obviously we're at the point where we need to have those discussions and see what they bring to the table. If we're going to offer them a piece, what do you give in return? And those types of discussions will be happening. But I think at this point, I still think they need to make their case.
Steve Stottleman, the chairman of the Gaming Committee for the state of Illinois, Illinois State Senator, with us here on The Score. So you quoted the number of $150 billion gambled illegally. And, you know, those are all estimates, right? I've seen 50, I've seen 100, 150, whatever it is. We know it's a big number and it's disproportionate to illegal sports bets far outweigh legal sports bets, right? If it was a pie, 97% of wagers are illegal, 3% or so are legal.
And 3% may be high, who knows?
Right. Fast forward me 10 years down the road here. How is that pie split up in your mind between illegal and illegal, or legal and illegal wagering?
I think it depends on the legislation that would pass, and that's, again, why we need to be careful with this. If our, you know, the initial thoughts are, well, let's tax it. Let's tax it as high as possible and get as much revenue for the state as possible. But if you tax it too high, if there are regulations that prevent operators from being successful, you're not going to be able to be competitive with the black market. You got to try to find a way to entice people to go from the illegal market to the regulated market. And if there's much difference in the line, if the books aren't as beneficial or profitable to people, you're not going to have an ability to get people to go into the regulated marketplace. And so that's why these decisions are extremely careful. I don't have a percentage in mind as far as 10 years down the road, I think it's going to be a very slow process. I think people are clearly comfortable with how they're betting right now, and we're going to have to perhaps offer them an incentive to do it in a regulated, safe place, and that's where consumer protections come in, that they can still enjoy that experience, but in a regulated marketplace.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because as someone who's got a really good system for gambling right now, the only way that I would consider leaving that system, Senator, is if it's advantageous to me as a consumer. It's not like I'm being hung up on the morality of the issue right now.
And I think people are very sensitive to any difference in the line. For example, I'm amazed, and I've heard stories. I'm not a sports bettor myself, but if there's even a slight difference in the line, it makes a huge difference where they place that bet.
So huge.
We need to be very sensitive to the marketplace and what it's going to take to attract those who've been doing it illegally for so long.
All right, I like hearing that. A couple more things that I have for you, and again, I really appreciate your time. We're talking to the chairman of the Gaming Committee for the state of Illinois, Illinois State Senator Steve Stottleman, with us on The Score. Age verification, is that something that would just be inherent? Is that going to be on the apps? Is there going to be someone standing at the kiosks to check IDs? How would that go so that you can protect underage people from gambling on sports?
Well, again, that will be what we need to determine. In Nevada, I think you need to walk into a casino and physically register in there. Therefore, they can confirm your age. So that's how Nevada does it right now. Who knows whether that'll be the way. I think there are other ways to verify your age as well online. But again, you don't want to make it so restrictive where people maybe physically have to walk into a bricks and mortar facility to verify things. But maybe as part of the opportunity to get something passed legislatively, maybe those are types of restrictions and demands that people will make. So that's not known at this point. But in Nevada right now, people actually have to walk into a casino or an operator of a license.
Do you plan to include in any sort of legislation that would come from this the ability or restriction to gamble on amateur sports? Will people be able to gamble on Northwestern football, Illinois basketball, or is that going to be off the board?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think Nevada does allow betting on collegiate sports. So there's an assumption, of course, it's up to further negotiation, and there's no specific bill, but, with the March Madness brackets, I mean, people are obviously in the habit of doing that already. So you would anticipate or expect that would be part of the sports betting landscape. I guess the question I would have is, what about the minor leagues, right, where players aren't as paid as much? Are there more minefields ahead if you allow betting on minor league teams? I don't have an immediate answer to those questions, but that's in the area that I think we need to discuss further.
Yeah, well, what I would say is that most people who are shaving points are not looking to do it by gambling legally, right?
right.
Like the NBA scandal that happened with the referee back in 2006, he didn't walk into the win and place those bets. He did it through organized crime contacts that he had. So maybe you've got to put in maximum amounts that can be wagered on amateur athletics or the lower level sports, and cap those a little bit lower. But I wouldn't think you'd be that much more susceptible to corruption at lower levels of athletics.
And the thing is, I think operators will argue that they really are the front line trying to identify the suspicious activity. If the line suddenly changes dramatically, or there's a huge wager made on a minor league team in Toledo, Ohio, for example, right? That's going to draw red flags, and they're in the position to best determine and monitor this type of activity that would spot something really extremely unusual. So I guess I would agree, for the most part, there are ways to identify potential legal activity. And as you say, right now, there's no regulation whatsoever. It's happening, and people aren't walking into Nevada regulated facilities to make these type of wagers, which is, I think, is another reason to argue that they should be moved as much as possible into a regulated marketplace.
A lot of us expected the Supreme Court decision to go the way that it did. Were you surprised?
No, I mean, people were expecting that. I guess what was question is how restrictive the ruling would be. I think people expected the New Jersey request to be granted, but how sweeping would the Supreme Court decision? Would it allow other states to also implement this type of legislation, or would they have to start their own legal process as well? And I think it was pretty clear from the ruling that it wasn't that restrictive. It pretty much opened the gates for states to do this. So I wasn't surprised by it, but I just was kind of curious as far as what the exact court ruling would entail.
And then last line of questioning, and I really appreciate your candor and your time. What other types of legislation could be passed? Because I read this as this is empowering to the states, right? This was a question about the 10th Amendment, and there are other things that now could be decided, not gambling. And I know you're the chairman of the gaming committee, so you're not necessarily an expert in other fields, but what other types of legislations do you think this ruling from the Supreme Court in Jersey now opens for states to advocate for states' rights on the behalf of?
Well, I think the ruling is clear. I mean, states' rights was the important issue. It trumped the federal oversight, and you know, whether it was the ability of state to offer sports betting or implement other types of legislation, the Supreme Court pretty much said, yes, we agree, this is a state's rights issue. The federal government can't tell a state what to do or not do outside any criminal activity, right? So I think it just confirms the type of system we have, and states really are the drivers when it comes to legislation.
So I guess I'll ask it more directly for another issue near and dear to my heart. Was this a good day for the eventual legalization of marijuana?
Yeah, I think you could make that argument. Obviously, marijuana is a different situation because if there's criminal legislation or I'm not an attorney, so forgive me here if I'm not speaking correctly, but you know, the federal government still have jurisdiction if there's criminal activity. So if somebody determined that this is criminal activity, I guess for theoretical purposes, you can make the argument that the federal government should have a jurisdiction over this issue. But obviously, a lot of states are decriminalizing marijuana, right?
Exactly.
And making it recreational. So that maybe would take that argument away. But I think that's more of a difficult argument because up until now, even marijuana has been considered, or the use or the sale of it has been this considered a criminal nature. So that changes the dynamics of what this type of ruling may have for further ramifications.
Hey, I'm just looking for the things that I do that are illegal to become legal, Senator. That's pretty much my end game here. But
no, I don't think it's that far along that you could see sports betting and legalization of marijuana in the near future. I mean, who would have thought that 10 years ago? But times change, people's attitudes change.
Amen. Steve Stottleman, the Illinois State Senator, who is the chairman of the Gaming Committee. We appreciate your time and your candor. And if we have any more questions, we'll get back in touch. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the opportunity.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.